I don't know how many of you take Reader's Digest, but in this last issue of Reader's Digest, which came this last week in our home, there was an article, I think it was the second or third article listed down in the table of contents, How to Be a Totally Awesome Parent. And the reaction that we had to the title of that article, at least, was, I don't know if I want to be an awesome parent, I'd just like to be an adequate parent. It kind of reminds us of what I used to listen to on the radio quite a lot as a child. The announcer would come on with something like this: stronger than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. And in our society today, some people would think of, yes, Supermom. Well, a lot of us have troubles that way, don't we? And I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't need to be Superman or Super Dad or Super Parent or Super College Student or a Super High School Student or Super Kid. I just need to be able to cope with the situations on a daily basis which God brings across my path. And I think that's what each of us are faced with. And I think this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He's talking about coping with life. And I really want to zero in on that this morning. Paul says in this text, I can. I can. I can do, he says. I can do all things. In the King James Version, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This word which is translated, I can, is kind of interesting. Because in the English, can means I am able. I do have the ability, in contrast to the word may. Each of you understand this, don't you? That the word may means that you're allowed to do something, but the word can means that you're able to do it. And the word which is translated I can in the original language means strength, power. That's actually what it means. And in some circumstances in the New Testament, the word is translated to mean just physical brute power. In the New Testament, the story is told about the Gadarene demoniacs and the encounter which the Lord Jesus had with these demoniacs. And the New Testament tells us that these demoniacs were violent men. And they were so violent that no one dared. They felt that they could not. They were not able. They didn't have the power or the strength to go into that district where these demoniacs were living. That's what the word means very often. I don't have the strength to face the situation. But I think it's very interesting that in many situations we face, and I'm sure it was true with individuals who thought about these demoniacs who broke the chains and the bonds that they were put into and went around the tombs, that they said, hey, I not only do not have the strength physically to enter that kind of a situation, but emotionally, I couldn't hack it. And I'm going to skirt that country. I'm not going to go into that area. And so the word also carries with it this flavor of emotional strength. And I found this very interesting as I began to do a little bit of study in the New Testament. I'd like you to turn back with me to the book of Acts and the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, where the very same word is used. And it's translated in a very interesting way in the New American Standard Version. The situation is a situation where Stephen stands up and he is countering others about the faith. And this is what the scriptures say about Stephen. And again, this is the New American Standard Version. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. The King James Version says they were unable to resist the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. And the New American Standard Version says, or the New International Version says, they were unable to stand up against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. But I found it very interesting that the translation here in the New American Standard Version says they couldn't cope with the wisdom or the spirit with which he was speaking. And here we see in a very concrete way emotional strength, intellectual and moral strength, willpower, if you will. Willpower. And we could readily translate Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can cope. I can cope. Now, I think that's real interesting. How often have you been in a situation and you have said to yourself, I can't cope with this. I've been there. And I want to give you an example of that a little bit later. We all have found ourselves in this kind of a situation. I'd like you to turn also to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 in verse 10. Here we see the same kind of flavor. The situation is the situation at the Jerusalem Council. And the Pharisees are saying, hey, we need to tell new converts in Christ that they need to keep the law of Moses and that individuals need to be circumcised. And Peter stands up and he says this. He says, now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? We're not able to bear it, he says. We don't have the emotional, intellectual wherewithal to do the job. And I think we, each one of us, understand where Peter's coming from. Because Peter, in a sense, is saying this. He says, I want you to look, each one of you, at yourselves. And I want you to imagine yourselves on your own job and in the work that you have. And your boss comes to you and he says, I want you to be there always on time. I want you to be punctual. I want you to do in an absolute fashion all the work that I am asking you to do in a correct fashion. I want no mistakes. And if you make a mistake, you are in serious trouble. You have got to do the job. You know, that's a lot of pressure. And any of us who have been in a work situation where the boss has put pressure on us in this way know that it's a lot of pressure. And Peter is saying, hey, let's not put a yoke on these people which they are not able to bear. It's the same concept that Peter, or that the Apostle Paul, is using in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And when you turn back to Philippians, where the Apostle Paul speaks, he is saying, I have the physical and the emotional strength to do the job. I can cope, he said. Interesting, isn't it? Here's another side of what the Apostle Paul is saying. In Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. And verse 6. The same concept is used. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything.
but faith working through love.
What the Apostle Paul there is saying is simply this. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. That doesn't mean anything before God. That's our word. Having meaning. Having value. That's how the New International Version puts it. Having value. And we can place that very same translation into Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says, I have meaning. I have value. I want you to hear this, folks. Because the Apostle Paul is not saying, hey, I'm somebody great. No, Paul is not saying that. But what he's getting at is the fact that a lot of people in this world are listless, directionless, without roots in this life. They don't know who they are and where they're going. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I do have meaning in this life. Let me give you an example of how this works. This last Tuesday morning, I had the privilege of hearing John Gerstner in Wichita from 6:30 in the morning until 7:30 in the morning at a breakfast. He was lecturing, and it was really great. Afterwards, I wanted to meet him. I hadn't met him personally, and someone else was before me, and I overheard this conversation. One of the fellows being introduced to Dr. Gerstner said, I really appreciated what you had to say, Dr. Gerstner. It was really good. And Dr. Gerstner held up his Bible like this, and he said, it's not John Gerstner that matters. It's what the Word of God says that matters. And I thought to myself, isn't that the way it is? Here is a man who loves the Word of God. And he loves to teach the Word of God. And that's where he finds his meaning and his purpose in life. But it doesn't center around himself. It centers around the Lord God. And he's able to say, it's not what I say that matters. It's what the Bible says that matters. You see, that's where we find our meaning and our purpose. And I think this is what Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 13. And it's a powerful lesson for us, I think. Go back there and look, if you would, at verses 11 and 12 in Philippians chapter 4. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He says, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Has God been pleased to give you riches? You know, there are a lot of people in this life who cannot handle wealth. They begin to lord it over other people, and the pride wells up within them when they have wealth. They can't handle it. Has God been pleased to bring across your path poverty? There is contentment, Paul says. In any circumstance, I have learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ. You see, it's an emotional bent which God is pleased to give. An understanding and an acceptance of who we are. Liabilities, and on the bottom, there is that bottom line. And very often people find their worth in that financial statement. Personal worth is not tied up in success at law, on the farm, or in some business. It's not that way. What Paul is talking about here is understanding ourselves before Him. The situation does not matter so much. My meaning is tied up in Christ. And as a result, Paul says, I can cope. I can cope. Look at Philippians 4:13 again. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What is Paul's source of strength? Is it his own inner strength which enables him to meet the situations, to cope? Well, maybe we better ask the question, what is it to cope? What does it really mean to cope? You know what it means to cope? It means to be equal to the tasks that God has placed around us and the tasks that He's given us. It means to fight. It means to contend. Coping does not mean being passive, folks. Too many people give up and lay back and cry because they can't cope. That's laying back. And that's not what coping is all about. Coping means to be aggressive and to stretch and to move forward. And that capability doesn't come from a reservoir of strength within. In fact, the Apostle Paul is dramatically against that sort of thought. I can do all things through Him who what? Strengthens me. The power comes from without, Paul says. That's what he's telling us. I want you to compare another text with what Paul has to say here. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. John 15:5. Look at what Paul says here. He says, or Jesus says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, that's something. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, does that mean that Jesus is saying, hey, you can't run a farm without Jesus? You can't run a business and amass a great fortune without Jesus? Is that what he's saying? No, I don't think that's the case. In fact, I think it's quite different. He's saying, you won't have anything of worth without Jesus, without me. Several years ago, in the church, I found myself in a situation where I was moving forward in the church hierarchy. And I was a moderator of the presbytery, and I was chairman of all the influential committees. If an individual wanted to come into the presbytery, they had to talk to me first. I had to talk to them. And I remember very well one time at a presbytery meeting, standing up in that presbytery meeting and saying to the men of the presbytery, I can't go any further, men. I am utterly worn out on the inside. I can't take any more. I am exhausted. I cannot do it anymore. Do not elect me to any committees. I can't do it. And I left. I think that's what Jesus is talking about. Without me, you can do nothing. On the other hand, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is strength that is born of the Holy Spirit. The word which he uses is the very same word which Jesus uses in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8 when he tells the apostles, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Strength. Ability. It's an inner strength. It's a strength of heart that Paul is talking about. A mental ability. That's one side of it. Where God in His grace blows away the smoke from a situation so you can think clearly. You know as well as I do that you can't make a decision properly unless you can see a situation the way it really is. God does that. By His power, He blows the smoke away so you can see what's happening. And He gives you an emotional ability to cope. I remember a young lady whose husband went through a total emotional and mental collapse. And this young lady said to me one day, she said, the only way I'm getting through this situation is this. I put the Psalter up on the windowsill above the sink. And I sing those songs. God gave her the emotional strength to cope. God gives you the willpower too. I think that's one of the other things he's talking about here. The capability to make decisions. You know, some people just can't make a decision. They just can't make a decision. And I think one of the reasons they can't make a decision is they're afraid they're not going to be able to live with the consequences of the decision. So they won't make that decision. They always hold back. But Paul says, I'll give you the capability to make that decision, to live with it and move on. Praise God. You're saved. That's through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the power to cope. I think we can translate Philippians 4:13 this way. I can cope. How? Through the power that God gives me. And that's the only way we can do it. Absolutely the only way we can do it. Let me read you a little testimony that was given to me this week. It was given to me because it's about a West Point graduate who was in some tough training, Ranger School, in Georgia and other parts of the country. This young fellow says, although the high probability of my becoming ill or being injured provided items for them to pray about, I told these Christians I really needed their prayers in another area. I wanted to share Jesus' love with the guys in my squad. In my own strength, the fatigue, pressure, and hunger would definitely cause me to live very selfishly. But I wanted to live and serve Jesus by saying an encouraging word to a discouraged fellow student, by sharing a comfort item, especially food, with another guy, by volunteering to carry the heaviest equipment, by refusing to cuss or complain when the conditions were miserable, and by looking prayerfully for the chances to give a buddy an explanation for the hope that was in me. I believe Jesus could be glorified whether I graduated or not. Anyway, I said in my letter I needed their prayers because I am human. I needed to keep my thoughts fixed on God so that I would not lose focus. The focus of the people of God. One of God's answers came on a cold night in the mountains of northern Georgia. We marched most of the 10 miles back to our base camp after 5 days of continuous mission. Our water had long since frozen solid in our canteens. Three other guys and I had fallen about a kilometer behind the rest of our platoon, giving us privacy and a time to talk. uninhibited by our difficult times together, we began to share more personal things in our conversation. I cannot remember the exact words, but suddenly one of my squad mates said something to the effect, "I've never been very religious, but you really have something different from everyone else. You're always volunteering to carry the heaviest loads. You're always helping out." I paused for a moment, realizing that God had given me what I had asked for. Interesting, isn't it? More than interesting. It's the power of God. I remember a situation like that in the military, where we had been out on a long mission, and there had been a lot of grumbling and complaining. And when we got back, the sergeant who was in charge of the mission said, "I want you to gather around, men, and I want you to see something." Because there was another fellow in the squad who had worked hard and never complained a bit. And he pulled up his pant leg, and his calf was laid open several inches from a fall. I don't know how in the world he ever walked that way. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," he said. What's your personal struggle this morning? Is it chronic illness? "I can cope through the power that Christ gives me." Is it a disability? "I can carry on through Christ who strengthens me." Isn't that the Christian testimony? Is there a lack of clear direction in life? I can find that meaning and direction through Christ. He strengthens me. I want you to see one last thing in Philippians 4:13. Paul is not excluding any circumstance of life. "I can do all things," he says. That's not Denny Crudo speaking. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God. "I can cope in every circumstance of life, not by my own strength, but by the strength which God supplies through the Holy Spirit." Folks, He's real. And this Word of God is real too. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the grace which you give your people, which you give us. Sometimes we wonder how we are going to be able to face various situations. But then when we look back, we know that you have been with us. And that gives us courage, Father. Courage because we know your word is real. No, we don't have the ability within ourselves, but our strength comes from you. Oh God of heaven, strengthen every individual in this congregation this morning.